We had such a good time hanging out with Rob that we thought why not add an additional 13 minutes of outtakes for those who want a little more banter on their commute. Here are five distinct conversations for your listening pleasure.
I tried to give good advice. I mean, I don't know. there's a kind of hope there, aspiration, or, you know.
I feel like the best advice I can give people is, hey, listen to the podcast. There's a lot of advice from a lot of people that know a lot more than I do.
There you are. You know, that's good advice.
Exactly. Yeah, and
you've not heard what I've got to say. I cringe by the time I finish. We all live in glass houses. We all screw up. Talking about my screw ups, go on, there else.
Perfect. I'll personal you, stories are always the funniest.
I deserve a Nobel Prize. But, you know, we start with that premise.
All right, I love that. So when we start with, that's the lead into it, and I think that will be top. Okay, Nobel Prize
I deserve a Nobel Prize
for peace.
I thought it was a brilliant paper, personally. That's why it deserves the Nobel Prize, right?
So Nobel Prize in literature, then. Okay, I love it.
I think so. Yeah. I think that'd be fair. Yeah. I'd go along with
okay.
that.
Awesome.
That's great. Honestly, it's a thumping good read, that paper. So this is my paper. So I should speak in a really boring voice, you know.
Oh, good God. Save us.
I will just read my paper now online. Natural geochemical attenuation in the Venus. God, you edit that.
if you have it a little bit like deeper and a little bit slower, these are the kinds of stories I fall asleep at night. So maybe we could do a spin-off.
I could do that Walter Cronkite type accent.
Geochemistry for sleeping.
Geochemical attenuation in the Venus. Sounds like something from the sci-fi channel, doesn't it? In the Vedals.
A little bit, yeah. Oh, my God.
I should have had a scotch before I did this. Otherwise, I might have taken this seriously. But too late.
Dave Lowe, other people have done scotches. It just really depends on what you... If you need to go...
I just had a cup of tea, I'm afraid. So there you go. Very English.
So English. I know.
And I am proudly English. It doesn't matter how many places I live in or where I go in the world, I am English.
Even though, do you just live in Cardiff then? Because I feel like English...
I don't live anywhere near Cardiff. That's Wales. Good Lord.
Oh, because I thought maybe is that the nearest SRK office? Is that why it's on your thing?
Well, it's the nearest office, but I don't want to live anywhere near the office.
Okay, because I was like, man, this guy... I was like, we got a Welsh guy on that. We've had Simon Griffiths on before. He's a friend of the show. He's Welsh, but I was like, oh, two Welsh guys.
Simon. Yeah. Small world, isn't it? Larry Angus. I used to think, I thought this might be quite prestigious to be on your thing, but it's not really, is it? How many of you have had those two? You obviously scraped the bottom of the barrel.
That's where I started. Yeah, exactly. Just begging, you know?
Yeah, I'm afraid. Yeah, I'm no longer that impressed, I'm afraid. So I'm sorry. Oh, I thought, come on, this might be very prestigious being on this, but no. This and that And I think that I'm fortunate that being in industry, I just don't go to the conferences every year because I don't have to. So it doesn't worry me, but I just feel for those people who have to go to the conference, have to present something in order to get their next grant. And it's just not feasible to generate that much new work for most people. Yeah, it doesn't seem a shame, though, that researchers are put into that category. It's an underfunding of science that's led to this, because you've got people who are in their 30s still surviving on soft money.
Yeah.
Trying to eke out an existence on a grant that's only 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems wrong. It's not the way that science is going to be in any way advanced. If I look at somewhere like China, where our politicians are so keen to tell us how dreadful the Chinese menace is, the reality is they at least support science and see it as a way of educating their country.
Mm.
And so consequently, they generate science and they generate good science because they're prepared to invest in it. And by and large in the West, we're not, especially in anything that involves the extraction industry. There's a lot of gossip about critical elements now.
I hate it.
Everything's always been critical as an element because you never get enough of it as a society, to be absolutely honest. And we have had multiple politicians concerned about the proliferation of imports. And the US is a very good example of this, where people talk about how dreadful it is that the US has to import so much of its critical metals, particularly those that it needs for the defense industry. You know, tungsten's a good example. Now, tungsten's a very common element. Nevada, I know, has 4 or 5 completely undeveloped tungsten deposits, all really high grade. You can go there and collect very nice crystals of wolfenite and scheelite without problem. So you would think that the US, as it was many years ago during the Cold War, would be completely self-sufficient. But that's not the case, because successive governments, not just Democrats, not just Republicans, but successive governments have chosen not to invest in their mining industry.
But they also chosen to listen to the constituents that every mining project is like it was in the 1800s, where it's just going to ruin their towns or this, that, or whatever. And they've given too much.
I think people who live close to mines in general are in favor of it because they're generally in rural areas and they're pretty badly paid. So they actually appreciate the mines, but their vote doesn't count because that's never a good place to try and get a mine going. So to be honest, Rosemont was always going to have an uphill struggle. That's not to say it shouldn't be mined, because copper's a strategic metal. And Rosemont actually had some really good ideas about how they can mine it without causing an impact. However, as you can imagine, the Rosemont, the neighbors, were very much against the idea of having a large copper mine on their doorstep, because you don't buy a $2 million house to have your view of the mountains obscured by a mine. That's definitely what goes against your feng shui.
But that's just so, every excuse in the US is very similar. You're always going to have your $2 million house. I'm not saying talk Rosemont in particular into the ground, but it's always something like that, it seems, in the US. It's always, well, it's always to get everything offshore is always nicer because we can't see it. I don't know. There's so many impediments to mining in the US. I just wonder why anybody bothers exploring to a large degree.
Nevada hasn't. Nevada's
no. They are pretty good. Yeah.
Our nations in NATO as a whole will have to change the viewpoint on, and we'll have to be compromising over what we consider as an environmental impact, or how to manage it, or how to mitigate it. So, you know, one of the interesting things that I think Arizona does right is it has a thing called a PMA around a mine. And basically what that says is, within the confines of a certain area, you can essentially pollute that area during operations. And the only thing you have to do is to make sure you don't cause bird kills, which is a federal offense. And so you manage the mine such that you might have ponds which need cleaning up or ponds which need management during operations. But on closure, you have to mitigate all the impact, and you have to improve the chemistry of what you're dealing with as an operation. That's fine. That's something that I think most people would turn around and tell you, yeah, that's reasonable enough. And within the confines of what you're currently doing, you just accept there will be a certain level of impact. And I think that's a clever way of doing it. I think it's a way that any jurisdictions could benefit from in the States. And even in Canada. Oh, I've got an opinion on most things.
I know, I love it.
It's completely different. I do have an opinion on everything, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to give it as well. Really. Yeah.
This is all about opinions and feelings. And as long as you don't start crying, which I don't know how to help you with, but I feel like you're too English to cry, which is a good thing.
We don't do that kind of nonsense.
No. Exactly. Exactly. So otherwise, I'm here for it.
Where's your voice from? Where's your accent from? Midwest.
I'm originally from New York, from Long Island. So I can get a pretty great Long Island accent going if that is something that you're interested in hearing. I was sitting in bump to bump of traffic with my coffee, and then Karen, she rang my phone, and all she was doing was talking about all of her drama, and I had no time for it. I had no time.
Oh, you could be on The Sopranos with that voice.
Yeah, so Long Island is very, especially when it gets kind of like South Shore sounding, it gets very similar to that like New Jersey soprano kind of sound.
I should be really polite to you because you've got friends. You have friends.
I am connected, let me tell you.
You have friends, yeah.
Yeah. In general, there's zero editing. I take out all my likes because I'm American and we say like after every other word. And that's about it. So the whole idea is like you overheard this conversation at a bar. So
I never listen to other people's conversations in the bar. That's always a very dangerous thing to do. It is.
The thing is that I'm so interesting that people are always listening to my conversations at bars. So.
Oh, well, there you go. That's my problem. I'm not interesting, so nobody bothers to listen to me.
Oh, my God. If you show up in America, which you do work in America quite a bit, it seems, people would always listen because you got an accent, and people are just like, oh, my God, an accent. So people probably do listen to your conversations quite a bit.
Exactly. Have you seen the Great Gilbert cartoon on the English one?
No.
Oh, you should now find it. I won't ruin the humor for you, but it's so appropriate. It is. It's just real. I don't know what else to say about it. Unfortunately, it's absolutely true.
Okie dokie. Let's get this show on the road because it's late there.
It is. Now I'm likely to fall asleep in the middle of your podcast, but
that's why I'm going to keep you talking. Rob, let's do this. I need your opinions.